To start with our meeting, my greetings to honorable members, honorable Kaula. Just trying to get your attention. The team from SASA, NDA, CDA, you are welcome. Maybe let's start our meeting by observing a moment of short prayer and meditations. Can we? Thank you. I think it will be appropriate because today we are having a CDA and I'm told there are board members from NDA to introduce ourselves so that we know who is here. Starting with myself, my name is Kathy Dlamini, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Social Services. I'm representing the beautiful province, Mpumalanga. I'll go this direction.
Good morning. My name is Umama. That is my name. Umama, representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal in the National Council of Provinces, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Chris Harting from the Northwest Province.
Dingutande Mphambo Tsibukwana, the Mele Pondland Jana Koloni. Thank you.
Sanibonani, Kamalami Ngumdomuhla kaKhawula, ngilunga lomkhandlu kazwelonke wezifundazwe. Ngamsana nomama, ngimele isifundazwe sombuso wobukhosi bakwaZulu.
Thobela, ke go leba modula setulo. Ke tsapane go edi Mampuru, ke emetse province ya Limpopo. Ke a leboga.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, everybody. Marcel Williams, committee secretary.
Good morning. I'm Thobela KJ, content advisor for this committee.
Good morning, my name is Jeannie LaRue and I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning, I'm Zukiswa France, the committee assistant of the committee. Thank you.
I receive an apology from Kululi Molo, who is a researcher for the committee as well. He is busy preparing for taking parliament to Gauteng next year. And two apologies from honorable members. Honorable Mshodi will join us later. Honorable Ngwenya is still off sick and Honorable Stock is writing exams. Over to you. I don't know who will start the introductions.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Connie Ngumalo. I'm from Social Development. I'm DDG responsible for welfare services, but also for today I'm leading the delegation from social development. We have a team from SASA and NDA and also Central Drug Authority. NDA has got a chairperson of the board, and with SASA, Ms. Ramkhupa will be leading the presentation. Then chairperson of the CDA is Mr. David Bayeva, will also lead the presentation. May I request members to quickly introduce themselves, if it's allowed. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Raphahle Ramakgopa. I'm from SASA, and I'll be doing the presentation on behalf of SASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Zakir Wachauke. I'm responsible for finances within SASA.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm Judy Hermans, the Chairperson of NDA Board.
Good morning, Chairperson and Members and colleagues. I'm Bongani Magongo. I'm the Executive Director for Development Research at the NDA.
Good morning, members, chairperson, and colleagues. My name is Ben Murule. I'm the senior manager, planning and reporting in the NDA.
Good morning, chairperson and members. My name is Cheryl Yeni. I'm the chief financial officer for the NDA.
Good morning, chairperson and the members. I nearly said from the beautiful province, but I'm from Limpopo. My name is Peter Nechipare, the DDG for Community Development from DSD. Thank you.
Abshani, mina Ken Maluleke, Nomaka Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members and colleagues. My name is Mzolisi Doni. I'm from Department of Social Development, responsible for rights of persons with disabilities.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable members. My name is Sibeliso Makgetha. I'm currently acting as the Regional Executive Manager in the Northern Cape Province.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members and Colleagues.
Apologies, representing SASA Northern Cape.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and Colleagues. My name is Abraham Mahlangu. I'm the Chief Information Officer at SASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members, and good morning, colleagues. My name is Thandi Sibanyoni. I'm responsible for internal audit at SASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. I'm David Baber. I'm the Chairperson of the Central Drug Authority.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'm Ivodia Mabuza Mokoko from the Department of Social Development, and I'm responsible for the Central Drug Authority Secretariat. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Busiso Dlangoti. I'm responsible for KZN SASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Bandile Maqetuka, representing SASA Western Cape.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm Oscar Mbeta, representing SASA Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm Mofat Mohani, representing SASA Mpumala.
Honorable Chairperson and members and colleagues, good morning. My name is Bongile Sitlaba. I'm representing SASA Free State.
Honorable Chairperson and members, Dumelang Lina Lagake Fani Sitoha. I'm representing SASA Northwest Province.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Sipho Zwane, General Manager Strategy, SASA.
No, thank you very much, all members and the team from Social Development. There's one left. Okay.
Good morning, House. My name is Oluwole Oluwakemi. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
No, thank you very much. Let me specifically welcome the Central Drugs Authority because we're meeting them for the first time. At least we met with NDA, we met with SASA, but also welcome the two chairpersons that are part of the meeting. All members, I think you noticed that today we have representatives from the provinces, which is very good. We really appreciate that because most of the time we ask questions from the national department, yet answers are with the provinces. So we appreciate that. I think is a good representation from the department. All members, I received two invitations, one from the minister who is having a meeting, a cabinet, apology. What did I say? Oh, an apology from the minister who is attending a cabinet committee meeting, which was long scheduled. She is in that meeting today. And also an apology from the deputy minister. With SASA, I also got a communique from the department that there is also a meeting of the inter-ministerial committee, which is briefing SCOPA together with the portfolio committee as we are sitting now. It started at 9. So they decided to split themselves. The CEO is in that side, but we do have, I'm told, capable managers. Because my question was, are they in a position to respond to questions? And I was assured that they will be in a position to respond to questions. As per the leader of the delegation, yes, it was also communicated to us this that Ms. Connie Nxumalo is appointed to lead the delegation, which I think is in order, because that is what we always question, that is there an appointment that a person is leading the delegation? I do have all those logistics today. We are going to start with SASA. There's nothing new. All what we want is to present to us on what you presented to us at the beginning of the financial year in question, what you were going to do in that year, were you able to deliver on the plans? If not, what were the challenges? I'm also happy that the financial section is also represented, because see, sometimes when you look at SASA reports, you wonder if there is the finance section in that entity. But I'm happy that they are here, as well as the person responsible for internal audit, because they are the people who are supposed to give AMA warning signs prior to the reporting. We're going to start with SASA. All members, I'm requesting that we have received all the three presentations. I'm going to give each 30 minutes. If you have a longer presentation, I don't know, you'll try to make sure that you do it within the 30 minutes. I will start with the SASA to do their presentation. Then it will be followed by NDA, CDA. In that one, maybe the chairperson would like to start the presentation, then hand over to the team as well as NDA. 30 minutes each. Then we'll take it from there. We'll receive all three presentations, then we'll engage with the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I start with the presentation, let me just apologize. The REM for Limpopo could not make it, and I'm sending apology for that, but we'll try to handle questions from Limpopo to the extent possible. There's a meeting in the province with traditional leaders, which was long scheduled, and she had to attend the meeting. I don't think so, ma'am. In future, we'll make sure that we reprioritize the meetings. We just thought because we have sufficient delegation, we should be able to make it up for her. Things are. In the presentation, in terms of the outline, we have the purpose, the overview, that will give information on program performance information, focusing on the achievements against 2016-2017 annual performance plan. We'll give the budget expenditure report, which will be outlined by the CFO, and the summary of the audit outcomes, and then finalized by recommendations. In terms of the purpose is to present to the Select Committee on Social Services SASSA's annual report focusing on performance information, budget and expenditure, audit outcomes, and recommendations. Our overview is just to reflect that SASSA is a Schedule 3A public entity, which was established in 2006 in terms of the SASSA Act of 2004. The objective of the organization is to act as the sole agent that will ensure the efficient and effective management, administration, and payment of social assistance, and eventually serve as an institution to manage the broader social security benefits. The social assistance program, which is currently the main program of SASSA, is fully funded by government. Our vision is to be a leader in the delivery of social security services, and our mission is to administer social security services to eligible children, older persons, and people with disabilities. Our slogan remains paying the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place. How our work relates to the NDP is that we work within Outcome 13, which is an inclusive and responsive social protection system, and the sub-outcome is sub-outcome 4, which is depending social assistance and extending the scope of social security. Our strategic outcome-oriented goal is to expand the access to social assistance and creating a platform for future payment of social security benefits. Our priorities for 2014 to 2019 are reducing income poverty by providing social assistance to eligible individuals, improving service delivery, improving organizational efficiency, automation of business system, and institutionalizing the social grants payment system within SASSA. The programs for SASSA are two, one being administration and the second being the benefits administration and support. And within program one, we have sub-program 1.1, which is executive management. We have corporate services. We have information and communication technology. And we have financial management. In program two is the benefits administration and the payments administration. The objectives for 2016-2017 were as follows: to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the administration of the social assistance program, to provide human capital management, facilities and auxiliary services, to provide effective information and communication technology, to facilitate effective financial management, and to uphold good governance. In terms of our program performance, for purposes of this report, the following ratings have been employed. For fully achieved targets, we have green, and partially achieved, we have an amber, and not achieved, it's reflected in red. The green reflects the targets that have been fully achieved, and we had 42 targets that were planned for 2016-2017. Of the total planned targets, 19 were fully achieved, which is green, 13 were partially achieved, which reflects 31%, and 10 were not achieved or achieved below a performance of 50%, and this is 24%. Our expenditure sits at 106%, which includes the appropriation and the cash surplus. Now, Chairperson, I'll go into each and every in program, starting with program one. In terms of program one, just to reflect on what is the program purpose, the purpose is to provide leadership, management, and support services towards realization of the agency's mandate. This program provides for an enabling environment for effective, efficient, and administration and payment of social assistance. The summary of program one performance achievements was that we had 24 targets that were planned for the financial year. Of the total 24 targets, 13 were fully realized, which reflects 54%. 5 targets were partially achieved, which reflects 21%, and 6 targets were achieved below 50% performance, which reflects 25%. In terms of the actual programs, the first target was to have 20 internal audit reviews conducted on high-risk areas. Of the planned targets, we managed to achieve 23 internal audit reviews, and this represents 115%. In terms of fraud and theft and corruption awareness, we had planned to do 72, and all 72 were conducted. And the next slide just reflects on the provinces where we conducted the awareness programs. Most of them were in the Eastern Cape, followed by KZN and Mpumalanga, and others were below, were around 8 and 6. The lowest number was in head office because of the number of people that are involved at head office. In terms of the reported cases for fraud, theft, and corruption awareness, the target was to have 70% of reported cases investigated within 90 days of receipt. We managed to achieve 65% of the investigation in terms of the current project on 90 days, and in terms of the backlog, we managed to achieve 81%. And the reasons for underachievement was because we had a number of syndicate cases which were more complex and needed involvement of other external institutions to assist us, including the police and other investigating institutions. On terms of the breakdown of the locations, we have provided breakdown of the province, which shows how we achieved the 65%, which is total of 262. Majority of the cases that were received were in KZN, and this is the province where we've also managed to do a lot of investigation, followed by Western Cape and Eastern Cape. In terms of backlog cases, also we've provided a big breakdown of where most of the investigation, most of the cases were reported. We had a lot in Limpopo, and we've also done a lot of backlog, but we could only manage to achieve 88% in terms of backlog cases. In the next objective, which is executive management on improvement of organizational efficiency, we had planned to do 100% of legal opinions to be finalized within 10 working days. What we received is that we received 239 requests for legal opinions, and of the 239 requests, we managed to do 233, which represent 98%. And the few that we could not reach 100% was because they required further research and investigation prior to completion. In terms of contracts management, the target was to have 100% of contracts drafted within 10 working days. We received requests for 1,009 contracts, and all 1,009 contracts were finalized within 10 working days. We've also given a breakdown of the legal opinions that were provided, breakdown per province, including the head office. And we further, in the next slide, we've also given a breakdown of the contracts that were drafted in terms of breakdown per province. Most of the contracts were drafted for Eastern Cape, followed by KZN, and by Northwestern KZN, followed then head office. In terms of corporate services, the target was to have our HR plan reviewed. The HR plan was reviewed to accommodate the outcome of the capacity model, focusing on the enrollment function, which we were planning to take over within the payment function. The capacity model was also reviewed in order to accommodate the enrollment function, and in the review, we are able to establish that we would need additional 640 staff if we were to take over the enrollment function. So the documents and the analysis and the job requirements have been finalized. All we're doing is the motivation for additional funds to get this function in. And then the target was to ensure that we have 95% of funded posts filled. And what we managed to achieve was that we had 96% of funded posts filled. In addition, there were 805 contract workers, totaling the number to 9,349 at the end of March 2017. And the breakdown of funded posts filled by location has been provided. Members can go through them. And then on the core sourcing of registries, here we are talking of the records management centers. We have managed to get into a model where we get into partnership with registry companies, and so that we can improve our records management centers. We have done the core sourcing of registries for five regions, which is Northwest, Western Cape, Gauteng Province, KZN, and Free State, and those contracts have been concluded and work started in the previous financial year in terms of relocation of files. And then in terms of local offices that needed to be audited. We had a target of 367, and we managed to achieve the full 367. We had a target to have open pay points converted into fixed structures. We managed to achieve 176. Of the 176, 96 we were able to build steel structures, and 80 we migrated community pay points to community structures that were available within the communities, either in the form of churches or community halls. And we have provided a breakdown in terms of the steel structures that we were able to develop, to build within the different provinces. Coming to the new sub-program, which is 1.3 ICT, in ICT, the first target was to have biometric access to systems for staff and beneficiaries acquired and configured and piloted. The terms of reference were, we did not achieve this particular objective. However, we were able to develop the terms of reference, and the request of proposal was developed and advertised by end of March 2017, but we could not conclude the procurement process. The project, the reason was that for that was that we were trying to align this project to the new project for payment, and because of the delays in some of the analysis that happened on the payment model, it impacted on the finalization of this project. In terms of migration of users from Novell system to Microsoft platform, we had completed the process fully. In the network connectivity, we plan to upgrade the network of connectivity for head office and all regional offices, including registries. We were only successful in terms of upgrading of Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. The reason was prolonged by the industrial action in Telkom, because we depend on Telkom to ensure the upgrading of these offices, of these systems. In terms of backscanning solution, the backscanning solution, we had planned to employ a backscanning solution for 9 registries, and we were able to do the backscanning in 4 regions, being Northwest, Limpopo, Western Cape, and Northern Cape at the end of the financial year. But work had commenced in other provinces, although not finalized. We had also planned to do to introduce ongoing scanning in live local offices. The solution could not be built and tested due to the delay in the upgrading of the network cables. The size and the office accommodation were ready for ongoing scanning solution. However, the live specification could not be done because of the Telkom delay. The electronic queue management system was supposed to be procured. We could not procure the electronic queue management system and the web interface, and these projects were delayed because they also are integrated in the insourcing of the new payment model, which we have already delayed, and due to research and other processes that related to the Constitutional Court decisions that we need to focus on extending the contract for that financial year. On enterprise business intelligence solution being implemented for grants data, this target has been achieved. In terms of ACM management support system automation, also this we managed to achieve. We had planned to get an unqualified audit outcome for 2015-16, we did, and unfortunately for the current 16-17, we did not get this, but our target was for the previous financial year. In terms of 100 of eligible suppliers, we were planning to ensure that 100% of all our eligible suppliers are paid within 30 days. We had 4,781 suppliers that we worked with in the previous financial year. Of the 4,781, 4,603 were paid within 30 days, which represents 96%. The delay was mainly due to disputed invoices, and sometimes the changes on suppliers of suppliers without submitting new banking details. We've also given a breakdown of the suppliers, the provinces where we've done the payments. In KZN, we managed to do 100%, but in all other provinces, we did not meet the 100% target. We had a target to achieve 5% of social assistance debts recovered or written off. We only managed to achieve 2% of the debts written or written off or recovered. However, we did make a submission of write-offs to the value of 155 million to National Treasury and the Department of Social Development. The outcome is still outstanding, and had that been done, we would have improved our target to a better achievement. We would have achieved actually the 5% that we were that we had targeted. We've also given a breakdown of the social assistance debtors per province, and we can see that most of the social assistance debtors are in KZN and the Eastern Cape. We'll go to program two to focus on benefits administration and support. In terms of benefits program two, the program purpose is to provide effective administration and implementation of social assistance program. This program is responsible for the core business of the agency. In program two, we had 18 targets that were planned. Of the total planned targets, 6 were fully achieved, which represents 33%. 8 targets were partially achieved, and 4 targets were achieved below 50% performance, which represents 22% non-achievement. The first target was to have 1.4 million social grant assistance applications processed in the previous financial year, which is unprecedented. We had more than 2 million new applications that were processed, and this represents 147%. We had planned to increase the number of social grants in payment from 16.9 million to 17.5. The number of social grants that we had by the end of the financial year was 17.2 million. These were the social grants that were in payment, and this represents 98%. And the reason being the attrition and lapsing of grants, but there were also some of the grants that were investigated and found to be fraud-related, and they were lapsed immediately. And the breakdown of the new social grants processed per province has been provided, and majority of the new social grants were in Gauteng Province, Eastern Cape, and KZN. And the social grants in payment, we have also provided the breakdown, but I'll just pass for in the interest of time. I'll move to the slide that talks to the social relief of distress. The target was to have 400,000 social relief of distress applications awarded. We managed to achieve 461,750 applications that were processed and awarded, and this were food parcels. We had 265,000, school uniform 128,000, cash awards 10,000, vouchers 56, and others 1,095. The total expenditure was 587. We've also given a breakdown where of the awards in per province. In terms of the target for achieving 55% of children aged between 0 and 1 in receipt of CSG, we managed to achieve 41%, and this was 495 out of the total population of 1.2 children between 0 and 1, and this represents 41% of the total population. And the reason is the net result efforts when children move into the other age group, and there is also the issue of the fragmented system. But when we look at this in breakdown per province, there are those provinces that did manage to achieve the 55%, mainly Limpopo, Northern Cape. In terms of new social grants application process within 10 days, we had put a target of 95%, and we managed to achieve 90%. And we received, of the 2 million applications, we managed to process 1.8 within the 10 working days, and the non-achievement was mainly due to on the foster child grant reviews. We had a target of 163,000. We managed to process 164,000. Given the breakdown for both. In terms of social assistance as exceptions, we had targeted to do 80% of identified social grant exceptions being finalized, and this included the grants on alternative IDs, which is called the Quad Sevens, the grants paid after death and the large amounts. We managed to achieve 35% because of the slow response by beneficiaries that were affected by these alternative IDs. And majority of the Quad Sevens cases are refugees which remain in payment on alternative payment system. And we've given the exceptions per province as well. In terms of the provide service delivery, our objective to improve service delivery improvement, we had identified 520 wards where we thought we'd provide ICROP. We managed to do 631 to ensure that beneficiaries in those achieve this, are able to access the social assistance through the ICROP program, and this represents 121%. On Migonzo, taking Migonzo services to service delivery areas, we had planned 36, we have managed to achieve 31. In terms of public awareness, we had planned to do 600, we managed to do 828 public and beneficiary awareness programs, and then I've provided the breakdown for ICROP and also for Migonzo, where we achieved and where we did not achieve. In terms of the payment administration, the target was to develop a system for managing Regulation 26A mandate. We've managed to develop the system, but we've only been able to process 15% of the Regulation 26A mandate, and this is 1,000 out of the 7,000 mandates that we were supposed to be doing. This was due to the pending development of the system, which was delayed, and therefore the capturing was only done manually late. In terms of Regulation 26A backlog cases mandates that we needed to do, we had targeted to do 155,000. We managed to achieve 93,000. This were, despite the measures that were implemented where we communicated with beneficiaries, few of them responded by coming to our offices, and therefore we were not able to achieve this mandate. So we are only able to achieve 60%. We've also given a breakdown of the provinces of what we have done into this in this regard. We had also planned to ensure that 60% of the disputed deductions from social grants payments are resolved. We managed only to achieve 36%, which is 5,343 out of the 14,000 that were reported. The problem was mainly because we, for us to facilitate the dispute resolution, we have to engage with external party because these are affected through CPS, and sometimes there were delays from the CPS to respond to these cases. But now we have centralized the deduction management in order to resolve this particular problem. We've given the breakdown of the disputed deductions per province. On the transitional payment insourcing plan developed through work streams and implemented, we have drafted a transitional payment insourcing plan, and we've managed to do the request for information for procurement of the banking tender and the biometric user management system that was issued in February 2017, and because of the delay, we ended up managing to have the payment contract with the current service provider extended for a period of 12 months. SASSA could not fully develop a mandated system due to complexity of the task and some of the technical infrastructure requirements and resources that were required that we could not achieve in that during the provided period. In terms of payment vendors, we had planned to do merchant suitability assessment. The merchant suitability assessment was conducted. A total of 1,299 merchants were assessed, and of that assessment, 1,132 were found to be suitable, and they have biometric and PIN-enabled machines, which we think, should we take the insourcing plan forward, these are some of the vendors that we'll consider taking into the system. In terms of matching fingerprints of both adults and children, in terms of cleaning up, we have managed to do 4,818 matching of the fingerprints instead of the 31,000 that we had planned, and this represents 16%. The problem was with the challenges of tracing beneficiaries, because in order for you to validate before you remove them, the beneficiaries have to come to the system, and you also have to follow the normal 3-month process before you can remove from the system. The new beneficiaries biometrically enrolled into a SASSA system. The SASSA system was not developed and was delayed, and therefore we could not start the new enrollment. The data on current beneficiaries migrated to a new SASSA system. The biometric data for existing beneficiaries has been collected on monthly basis from the current service provider and is now sitting on SASSA system. However, it's not on. We don't have a SASSA biometric system for starting to do matching and verification. However, the data is sitting with SASSA, so this particular target has been partially met. I will now hand over to the CFO to do the financial and expenditure report.
Thank you very much. The expenditure in relation to the program performance and the overall performance by the agency. When we came to the committee, we did indicate that SASSA has an allocation of 6.9 billion rand. Over and above, there was a 1.2 billion that was a retained surplus, which is the cash surplus that we had. Of that amount, we were planning to spend 700 million. So the 6.9 billion relates largely to the allocation that we received from the department. And of that, we have managed to spend 6.7 billion against that amount. And then we spent 468 million that relates to the 700 million that we plan to spend from the retained surplus. And the total expenditure for the year is 7.2 billion that we have spent. When you look at only the baseline, which is the 6.9 billion that we did spend, it means that it is 98%. However, if we include the 400 million that we spent from the retained surplus, it comes to 105 million. Of that amount, actually, 2.8 billion was spent on COE and 4.1 billion was spent under goods and services. And therefore, you will see that there's an overexpenditure for the year under review. And there is the reason for the overexpenditure is because the baseline that we had, which is a 6.9 billion, the retained surplus you don't capture on the system because it's cash in the bank. So when you have to spend the cash in the bank, you have to overspend on your budget for you to access the cash in the bank. The approval to retain the surplus was received from National Treasury, and also the plan to spend that retained surplus was also discussed and approved by the National Treasury. Hence, the honorable members may see that actually we have overspent the budget because of the retained surplus of the 1.2 billion rand, retained surplus. We depict in this slide generally just to see where the bulk of the spending has happened within the agency. And I think it is depicted, you will see that the couple of areas that where we have overspent under advertising, primarily because of two main projects or three main projects that we undertaken under the year under review. One was the ICROP, which was the intensification of the outreach program that we did, including the Mikonzo program. But there was also an integrated communication program that we undertaken, which was budgeted within the agency. And part of the money, which is the retained surplus, was also spent there. But if you look at the handling fees, which is the amount that we pay for the service provider relating to the assistance in terms of the payment of grants, we had about 2.1 billion because that's under goods and services, that was the biggest budget under goods and services, the 2.1 billion. We spent about 2 billion. We had a savings of 73 million around that. But then you will see that the other operating expenses would have at least overspent primarily because of those projects that we talk about. I think we did give actually a footnote there just to indicate that the other operating expenses, what does it include? We said it includes the venues and facilities, the catering, the events promoters, and the hiring of equipment. That's primarily for the Mukonzo, the ICRO program that we implemented during the year. If you look at the composition of employees, we have had an under expenditure under the composition of employees of about 4%. Primarily, I think you will see that there has been a really serious movement of staffing. As much as we have at least been able to fill posts, we have also been able to really get more of the staff actually exiting in the system. But also, we have had a serious number of areas where you find that we promoted from within. You find that people are moving actually from level 5 to level 8, or moving from level 8 to level 9 or 10. And that means that you keep on advertising one post probably two or three times because an internal staff may have occupied that. But over and above, we also had vacancies that probably for the rest of the year we could not necessarily conclude the recruitment process, and that includes the executives under corporate services, the COO post, the regional managers in the Limpopo province and northern regions. Also, we had a couple of few positions at the general managers that will not fill and the senior managers. And this is what actually will have related to the 4% under expending under compensation of employees. Under goods and services, I've already alluded that one significant saving was under the cash handling fees. You will have noted that there's a 73 million underspending in relation to all savings in that regard, primarily because of the natural attrition, because of the movement, because we pay per beneficiary. So if ever then the beneficiaries are not growing that much, or some the existing the system, then you find that the efficiencies in that regard. But also the fact that we have kept this contract for the period of 5 years, without inflation in terms of the 16.44 that was paid. So this contract was stabilized for the 5 years and actually really related to the savings that we have in gain. The other expenses that we spoke and have already spoken about, the Mkonzo and the scanning solutions and also the work streams where we have implemented some of the change management program in terms of the conceptualization and finalizing the assistance of the professional people to assist us to deal with that. You will note that, as I spoke about in bullet number 3, the cash and cash equivalent, I'm just talking about the cash in the bank, to say that if you see there's been a reduction in the previous year, which is the 2015-16, because in 2016-17 there was an overspending of 316 million. So therefore, the cash in the bank was reduced because of that overspending. And the main items that we're saying that they were overspending, which we have seen in that slide, it is as a result of the amounts that were budgeted under retained surplus, which means that they were budgeted in relation to the 1.2 billion, which was the retained surplus for the year at the end of 2015-16. Then I can deal with the audit report.
Bearing in mind that we have also set your time.
Okay, I will just wrap it up quickly. I'm not going to take long. Under the year, we have received a qualified audit opinion, and I'm just going to just summarize the reasons for that. The positive was that the financial statements themselves, in terms of the presentations, there has been serious improvement because then we do not have any material adjustments on the financial statement, on the face of the financial statement. However, there are two areas that the AG was not happy with, and one part was under the predetermined objective. There is one objective that has to do with the percentage of distributed deductions from social grants payments resolved. And this one, the AG, although we reported 36% achievement, the AG could find that it's 33% achievement. And the main reason was this: because of the multiple entry in terms of the inquiries for the payment and the deduction, some do it in the local office, some do it via CPS, some do it at the district, some do it in the head office. So there's been multiple entries in terms of where people are querying. And despite the fact that we tried to consolidate it, we could not necessarily satisfy the AG in terms of this performance indicator. And currently we have actually now standardized how we're going to deal with this area, because now we have the system that's working, and we're only going to confine in terms of the entry points and the capturing of those in terms of the system. The second part that we had, it was note number 31, which is the whole issue of the disclosure of regular expenditure. And when we presented the register of regular expenditure, the AG has found that during their audit that there was non-compliance on two areas. One was the local content and the other one was the CIDP. Despite the fact that we went to work and restate the note and did everything just to make sure that we consolidate from the regions, the AG could not necessarily accept the final product of the regular expenditure register, primarily because they said they could not necessarily resemble and be able to validate actually the register. So they don't have any other procedures for them to be able to really validate that the register that we resubmitted does take cognizance of all the local content and the CIDB compliance issues that were picked up during the audit of that. However, subsequent to that, we have just done the validation of the register per region. And currently, I can report, Chairperson, that the register, actually, we reconfirmed it to make sure that, actually, at the end of the year, we really presented the consolidated register and correctly. Further than that, we also have done the training on the CIDB, because SASSA does not implement many projects. I think during that time, we were only doing the issue of the local office improvement, but also largely it was the pay point development, which currently we're no longer doing that projects. But the projects that we're currently doing now, we're doing with IDT, like in Northern Cape. Currently we have partnered with them, and then we've asked their assistance in that regard. In terms of the local content, we have issued the directives. We have also requested training, and the training has been done for all the regions, and they were represented, and we believe that this will no longer be repeated, because I think there was inadequacy of training within the SCM staff within the regions. In the head office, there was a full compliance, but the gaps were in the regions, and we have taken them on board through the training process in this regard. Then we just want to present to the committee, to the Select Committee on Social Services, to note the 2016-17 annual report, and also to note the financial statements for the year under review, which is 2016-17, and to note the audit outcome. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, SASSA. CDA. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The Chairperson of the Central Drug Authority, Mr. David Baeva, will be doing the presentation. I think he can come forward to sit here so that... Why don't we have a copy of your annual report? Why only tabling it now? We don't have the hard copy of your annual report.
Chairperson, in response to your question about the reason for it being late, during the report I will be indicating to you that there are a number of departments that we depend on for submission of their reports, as well as from the provinces, and unfortunately the departments have not all submitted their reports to us as yet. So what we have done is we've now compiled the report with those that have been given to us, of which only two have been signed off, but for the balance, we have got reports for 10 of the different departments associated with the Central Drug Authority or represented on the Central Drug Authority, and there still remain 10 that are not and have not yet been submitted to us. That, unfortunately, is what contributes to our delay every year.
Okay.
Chairperson, if I may, our item on the agenda is to have a presentation on the annual report. Annual report, in terms of treasury regulations and PFMA, consists of a number of documents, including the AG's report. Now my question is, what are we doing here without the report? How do we really interrogate what's being presented to us without the evidence that is actually in the annual report?
That is the question I was asking, because we don't have the copy of the annual report. When I checked with the officials, I was told that they have just tabled it to Parliament. It's not available. We still have to wait for that process. It was tabled late. Then the question is, what are we doing? Because it starts from planning. You first come and present your plan with your budget to the committee. Then later come and report on the performance on your plan. But before you come, a report is sent to us. In fact, if I heard you well, you said there is a number of departments or stakeholders that contributes to your annual reports, which some of them have not submitted up to now. It makes things worse, Honorable Chris. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It makes things even worse because you said it will come in your presentation. The question I have in my mind is that how are you going to account for those who did not support, submit? How are you going to account for them? All members, we have this situation. Can we speak to that without wasting time and take a decision on that? We will be doing a half-baked thing, and the worst part of it, we are meeting them for the first time. It's not their fault. We could have called them ourselves. But my worry now, we're starting on a bad note. All members, can you speak to this? You want to start with the follow-up, then I'll note Honorable Zwane.
I can't see us proceeding. And flowing from that, were you or the administration informed about the situation? Because for the representatives to be here amounts to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There's no way that we can have a presentation on something that does not exist. I can just perhaps elaborate on that. We've seen there's a history. When we don't have the annual report, that you have a selective presentation on highlights, showcasing, and then the real situation is, you know, underemphasized. And we only get a full picture if you have the report, including the AG's report. Including the notes to the financial statements. Without that, we are blind, and this is actually a wasteful exercise with wasteful expenditure incurred.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, this is a really difficult one, Chairperson, because I get the sense that even if we had received a report, a formal one, the reports that you normally receive from departments would not have been able to get a true picture, because what is contained in there is half-baked, because it's not all the departments that made a submission for them to be able to construct a report that is going to give us a full picture. That is point number one. Number two, I just wonder if they've been to the portfolio committee of the NA. Have you been before the portfolio committee of the NA before? And thirdly, how has DSD assisted in ensuring that they get the necessary support for them to produce a report that is authentic, and it has been able to enlist the cooperation of all the departments. Otherwise, then it's complicated. Really, I do want to agree with honourable members that say it's very difficult to engage in this fashion where there is no hard document. But I would be happy if they could actually answer this. What has DSD done to ensure that they get the support and all the stakeholders that are supposed to make submissions for them to be able to produce a report that is authentic? Thank you, Chair.
Sanga? He had a delegation, my friend would have up to the first questions. Baba called.
As for me, Honorable Hassan,
I only had this one when I was inquiring about the report, that I did not receive their report. I was told that it was tabled late. And as a result, we don't have a report. There is a copy, which I have not seen, for the chairperson, and about 4 additional copies. I don't know who to choose to give or who not to give. Even if they are available, there is no way that you can read in this meeting. I only heard this morning. I was not aware. Can I allow you to respond on the questions? My additions to what honourable members have said is that how many departments are having outstanding reports? How many outstanding reports do you have? And what has been the history? Is it only for this financial year, or did it happen in the past? We want to check the possibility. If you have about 80-90% department submitted, you are short of 2. It's something else. It's something else. But one will want to know how close is the report to be the report that you could consider, we could consider as a committee. It's not only to the chairperson. I know there are officials in the department, those who have to respond. I'm sure you had the questions from members.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me start by indicating that Central Drug Authority is not a scheduled entity, and it's also not a government component. It's a statutory body established in terms of Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act. It doesn't also have a dedicated budget. We have allocated them as social development, almost $5 million for coordination. It's a coordinating structure. They are also not audited by the AG. So even if the report maybe was tabled on time, there are no financial statements. There's also not an audit findings or report from the AG. However, they are part of social development in terms of the auditing of that $5 million that we allocate. What happens is that they coordinate the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, and they meet with stakeholders and make sure that coordination is happening, and also have structures in provincial offices, which are also funded by the provinces themselves. So the auditing and the allocation happens at that level. The department tried to assist the Central Drug Authority by writing letters minister to minister. Minister has signed several letters asking ministers that are represented in the Central Drug Authority to submit the reports within a time frame. We have given them extensions, I think, more than 2 times to be able to get the necessary information to put together the report. And also the DG to DG letters were sent to be able to get the information to write. Up to date, we have 10 departments that have submitted. There are 21 departments that are part of the Central Drug Authority. Only 10 submitted. Usually what we request in the letters that we send, we say they must sign off, because if you just get a report that is not signed off and you have to table it in Parliament, sometimes they dispute it. So it's better if each DG signs off the report. But we can safely say we only have two formally signed. The reports that we've got, the 10, are not even formally signed. So those are some of the challenges that the Central Drug Authority is experiencing. We have put together, finally, we took a decision. Minister suggested that let's table what we have and indicate those departments that have not submitted, because otherwise it means we will never table. And the Central Drug Authority has got a statutory obligation to table a report every year in Parliament. Thank you.
Have they been before a portfolio committee of Parliament before? And what is it that they submitted?
They were called by the Portfolio Committee for Social Development, but as Central Drug Authority Executive to present their plans. And the committee is aware that they don't have allocated budget. And there was also a recommendation from the Portfolio Committee that maybe we should relook at how the Central Drug Authority is structured, because it looks like the way it is, it's not functioning properly. It's not giving us the results that we want. So this is also in line with the diagnostic study that was done by DPME. So we're re-looking at how we can review the structure so that it can work better with allocated budget, either as a government component or as an entity that can work better, because currently sort of they don't have teeth or they don't have muscle to be able to deliver on what they are expected to deliver.
In fact, there are two reports that we can say they are signed off and DGs can account for. Out of the 21, we have two. 19, we cannot say they've submitted. The other 8, because the other 8 is not signed off. Remember, this is the situation of this. What I'm not sure of, that they are obliged to submit a report to Parliament annually, yet they are not getting a budget. What report? What are they accounting for?
They are accounting.
Because you do account for the 5 million, you. What are they accounting for?
They're just accounting on the coordination that they've done in terms of the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan itself. Just to tell Parliament this is how the plan has been implemented at a provincial level and also at a national level.
What informs the 5 million you gave them? Why 5 million?
It's the nature of the work, Honorable Chairperson, because they are just a coordinating structure, not implementing. It caters for the secretariat and also caters for payment of their meetings. And because there are 21 departments, but there are also 12 experts. So within those 12 experts, we pay them for transport and for the sitting of meetings. So that 5 million is basically for that. Social Development has got a separate budget for their implementation of their programs. That goes with various government departments. So that's the model Portfolio Committee also recommended, to say, can't you relook at how can the coordinating structure be structured, even if it's not CDA in the future, but what is it that you're looking at to have a proper coordinating structure for this big problem that we have as a country, which is substance abuse?
I want to ask you that. Does this drugs thing relate to substance abuse? Because we have a serious, serious problem about, in fact, we are losing our youth as a country. Our future does not look so good. That is why one was really interested to hear what they are doing. All members, I don't see us taking this presentation precisely because we don't have a report, but it's a very important structure, Chairperson. It's a very important structure for me, where I am sitting, looking at the extent of drugs abuse in our country. I don't know whether I will say, I don't think you are making impact. maybe it's because of the manner in which you are structured, but I cannot finally say that because we have not seen the report. Members, can we conclude that we will call them again, request that we get a report? Those who have not signed off the report, at least you received the report. Ask them to sign off those reports so that when we, I don't know whether you'll have to rework on your report now. Those who have not submit, then ask them to submit so that we have a full picture. If we can, first quarter of next year, we will invite you to come back and present. It's a very serious problem. The advice from the portfolio committee, I think, is an appropriate one. We will want to see those finances, even though you are accounting for them, make them talk to this report. Extract them from your report, account, put them somewhere in this report so that we can see how were they spent. Because always when you present, we don't see that report of CDA. So we'll want to see the finances of the entity speaking to what they are doing. But as indicated, I don't see us taking that report. Honourable Minister, you are welcome. We got your apology, but we really appreciate that you are here. We've received the representation from SASA. We have not discussed it. The second one was CDA, but their report is not complete. We have not received the annual report. And even if we received it, it was incomplete because according to them, it's only two departments that have submitted a signed-off reports from different departments. So we are going to call them next year in the during the first quarter so that we have a proper report. It's a very important structure. But what we are also saying is that maybe you have to relook at the nature and the structure of this entity, make it more effective than it is now, than a coordinating structure. Looking at the problem we have as a country on the substance abuse, we may want to make it more effective than it is now, other than a coordinating structure. When you come back next year, you'll brief us what are your thoughts on that, and we start processing them. The next presentation is NDA. Sorry, Chairperson.
Sorry, if I can just conclude by saying from the Central Drug Authority's perspective, I thank you very much for the comments that you've made, but to assure everybody that it remains for us a priority to do as much as possible in order to address the problem that we've got in the country. We are completely aware of the size and the enormity of the problem and are totally committed to doing as much as we can with a structure that can assist us, that would help us as well in order to be able to make an impact on the problem. Thank you very much.
NDA.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We are here as NDA to present our annual report 2016-2017 to the Select Committee. The report will cover performance information, HR report, governance report, and audited financial statements. Now, given the fact that the agency has the critical mandate of the eradication of poverty, taking people out of the social grant system, and the promotion of consultation, dialogue, and sharing of development experience, we will also, as part
okay.
of our...
There is a hand.
It's not a big issue, it's very minor, because the presenter, some of the members cannot see the presenter. I wish, because these ones are finished, let them shift to another position so that she comes in. Thanks.
Chairperson, the presenter. I'm not the presenter. I'm just as a chairperson just giving introductory remarks. The presenter has moved over so that you can see them. So let me hand over then, chairperson, to the presenter.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, I was just making concluding remarks about the opening remark, sorry, about the importance of our mandate, you know, and that we need to look at our challenges and, of course, the remedial action so that we can improve on our performance as an agency on eradicating poverty. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, members, and the minister and colleagues. I'm going to present the National Development Agency annual report for 2016-2017. The outline that we had structured the report is as follows. We'll talk about the purpose and we'll talk about just general information about the NDA. As you remember, Chairperson and committee members, that when we presented our annual plan in the last financial year, we did indicate that 2016-2017 was our transitional year, when we started to really look at the NDA model and how we'll structure our programs in response to the review of the NDA. We'll also cover the performance information and a report on governance and cover human resource, and we'll cover audited financial statements, and that section we request our CFO to present that particular section of the report, and we'll talk a little bit about the challenges we face and how we recommend to address them. I will just start by talking about the purpose. And as we all know, Chairperson and members, is that we have to provide an annual report based on our plan, which really covers performance information, HR, governance, and audited financial statements. And we'll also look at the challenges and how we'll deal with those challenges. I think under just what we had called general information, I just want to maybe highlight our legislated mandate, which has got two components. The first component is the primary mandate, which is found in the Act, which states that the NDA must focus on contributing towards eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society organizations for two major purposes. One, carrying out programs and projects that are aimed at meeting development needs of poor communities. And secondly, strengthening institutional capacities of civil society organizations that are providing direct services to poor communities. That is defined as by the Act as the primary mandate of the NDA. And it then says there is a secondary mandate that the NDA must fulfill. And this secondary mandate relates to promoting consultation, dialogues, and sharing of development experiences between the civil society sector and organ of state. And within that process, three outcomes should be met. One, debating of development policy between the state and the CSO sector. Two, undertaking research and publication aimed at providing the basis for development policy. And thirdly, NDA acting as a conduit for funding for the civil society sector from government of the Republic of South Africa, foreign governments, and other national and international donors. And on the basis of this mandate, we then had to review and look at our entire strategic view of the NDA, and we defined our mission as a society free from poverty and as a vision for the NDA, with a mission of facilitating sustainable development by strengthening CSOs involved in poverty eradication. And we identified some pillars for the NDA as values: integrity, dignity, empowerment, accountability, transparency, excellence, and partnership. Within that vision and mission and the mandate of the NDA, we had to review our framework within which we operate our programs. And I think we did present this framework when we did present our plan, but I'm just going to just go quickly over it as a reminder so that when we get into our programs, we can look at how the programs are encased on top of this framework. The framework requires us to, first of all, mobilize this organization. And within that mobilization process, we do consultation, dialogues, and assessment with the purposes of classifying them and defining interventions that are required. And we then defined the interventions within the NDA mandate would allow and align NDA to fulfill its objective of developing civil society organizations. And we programmatize this into four areas. One, a formalization of CSOs, assisting them to get formalized. Two, capacity building, which include training, incubation, and mentoring and support. And three, resource mobilization and grant funding. And four, sustainability, creating sustainable opportunities for civil society organizations to operate. And that model informed how we restructured the NDA. And we also looked at the organogram that we had to use in order to achieve that. We've got the organogram of the NDA that we then developed during that process, which I think I'm not going to go into too much details around it, except to say we've got the Minister for Social Development as our executive authority. We've got a board, and we've got an accounting officer with the chief executive officer, and we've got four programs below it: development, management, research, a coordination, which is under the chief operations office. We've got the chief financial office that looks at financial systems, and a corporate service that deals with our promotion. In terms of performance information, in the last financial year, we had a total of 23 KPIs covering the four programs that we had. And within that, on those 23 KPIs, we couldn't meet only two. 21 were met, and they represent 91% of the total KPI. And I'm just going to go quickly through each of the programs. Under Program 1, which is governance and administration, and its strategic objective is to strengthen and develop internal systems and processes and human capacity so that our programs can be delivered efficiently and effectively. And within this program, we had 9 KPIs. And out of those 9 KPIs, only 2 we didn't meet. I'll just quickly go through them. But on the ones that I have in this slide, we met all those targets, and some of them we even overachieved in those targets. And basically, the overachievement within this program was because we were in a period of reorganization and realignment, which required us in other areas to do more than what we would have thought we would in order to achieve what we wanted to achieve at that time. But I'll just talk quickly with the two targets that we didn't meet and the reason behind that. One is the percentage reduction in the regulatory audit. In the slide is number 7. And the reason that we couldn't actually meet this target was because at the time when we started to realign and redefine our activities, we were still not had redefined the organogram and the actual requirement for each function in that organogram. So we remained with a smaller capacity within a SCM, where else we had started to decentralize. And the demand and supply within that context actually overwhelmed the centralized SCM that we had. And many of the procurements that were required there, we couldn't meet it appropriately with the demand that we have. That's one. The second part was, at that time, last financial year, we were doing a total realignment of the agency. And almost all the policies required to be reviewed, almost each and every policy that we had. And by the time we completed the year, given that we had a new board that had already started, we had the first 7 months with an acting CEO who then we've got a full-time CEO in the last quarter. A lot of things, and with almost all executive acting, so a lot of things got clustered in those review of those policies. Most of the findings that are relating to that are related to policies that were either not completed, not approved, and processes then got entangled in those policies that were not clear. The second one on integration of IT system, we had assumed that we would have by then had a strategy and a plan for ICT, which couldn't happen, and we only completed the plan that year. So it's only this year that we are starting to implement that system. If I then go to Program 2, which is CSO mobilization, this was a new program that we have started to put in place. And it had 5 targets, and we met all the targets. And in many of these targets, we actually overachieved. And the reason was, when this was the first year that we implemented this kind of a program, so we never had any history on appropriately targeting these KPIs, as we never had an experience. So this has become our baseline that we are using as going forward because we now understand how much we can achieve in these targets that we have. But all of these targets were met, and I'm going to go to program 3, capacity building, which its objective is to increase accessibility to capacity strengthening interventions by civil society organizations. We had 4 targets under this program, and we had met all the targets. And again, in some targets in this program, we have overachieved. And the reason for overachieving in this program is because this is the program that we had, we have a lot of partnership that we sign with provincial departments and other private stakeholders to fund training of civil society. And the agreements usually happens during the year, and it is very difficult to actually target for those kinds of partnerships in the prior year until agreements have been signed and agreed on. And I think, Chair and members, in all the previous years, we had been getting this overachievement in this area precisely because of the uncertainty of whether or not the agreements will get and how much we'll get and therefore how much we can produce. So every time we would have those overachievement in these areas. Program 4, which is research, it had 5 KPIs. We have met all the targets, and within the targeted activities, except for very few which really had to do with people attending. It's very difficult to target how many people attend. Sometimes you'll have people having more interest and will allow them to come. I will then move, Chair, to the governance section. The NDA has got a full board of 10 members. I think, I'm sorry if in your slide is written 12, is a mistake. It's 10 members. It was just a typo mistake. We've got 10 members. And in the last financial year, we had 5 different committees. In the management committee, the audit and risk committee, human resource and remuneration committee, project research development, and stakeholder and resource mobilization committees. And for the first year, these committees actually met more than what we would have planned because this was their first year. We were changing, we're reviewing the operation model of the NDA, and the board has to meet a little bit more than what normally they would have met. And the board, the NDA board, is assisted by the Audit Risk Committee, have done a couple of things since they came last financial year. They look at the effectiveness of the internal control system. They actually look at the operational risk covered by the scope and the internal and external audit, because a lot of things were coming out of both internal and external audits as we were reorganizing the entity. And they also looked at adequacy, reliability, and accuracy of financial information. I think part of what we had a challenge with was as we were restructuring, we were also running the finance department with an acting CFO, and in positions we were not sure what are the critical position would require, and the board assisted to actually achieve that. Today we have a full-time CFO. the accounting and auditing concerns the compliance and legal accountability and regulatory frameworks that we had to align to the new areas of operation. In terms of human resources, last financial year, the NDA had 180 people, both at its national offices and provincial offices. The NDA has got 9 provincial offices, and we started to add 9 additional district offices in the last financial year, and we had only 180 staff, and the majority of them are female, 58.9%, and 1.8% or 3 employees are people who live with disability, and the vacancy rate was 22%. Whilst we had 12 employees leaving that year, representing 6.7%. That last financial year, we had 4 disciplinary action taken against staff, and I think when we look at some of the results of the annual report, the auditor's report, you will see that there were a number of staff that were disciplined due to miss a practice. And 1.3% of the NDA budget goes to personnel. I just want to quickly talk about this slide that talks to personnel costs. Last financial year, out of the 220,762,000 that was an allocation and revenue, I would say revenue for the NDA, 81 million went to staff, and it represented 37% for the 180 staff that we had. We had also looked per program, the average cost per person for program one. Average cost per person is 539,000. Program two, 376,000. Program three, 554,000. And program four, 536,000. On average, we're spending around 250,000 per person for delivering the NDA program. Chair, I will request our Chief Financial Officer just to cover the last part of our annual report.
Chairperson, greetings to honorable members. I'm here to present the annual financial statement for the NDA for the year ended 31 March 2017. I would like to begin with a high-level overview of how our revenue, which is our sources of income, and how our expenditure ended at year end, 31 March 2017. So our revenue, in total, we received 237 million against a budgeted receipt of 230 million. So we received 3% more than what we had budgeted for. In my next slide, I will explain the breakdown of the sources of revenue. And in terms of our spending, in total, we spent 221 million when we had projected to spend 230 million. So we spent 4% below budget, and the breakdown of the spend in terms of our programs. For program one, which is administration, We spent 10 million below budget, about 9% below budget. And for program two, which is CSO mobilization, in that case, we overspent by 2.5% above budget. We overspent by about 2 million above what we had targeted. Program three, CSO capacity building, we were almost flat on what we had budgeted. We budgeted to spend 41 million, 41.3, we ended up spending 40.7. So we were slightly underspent by about 1.4%. Program four, research and development, we targeted to spend 5.3 million. We ended up on 4.9 million, about 8% below budgeted expenditure. So on an overall picture for the year ended 2017, we ended up with a surplus of 16.6 million. That being the difference between our revenue of 287 million and what we spent, which was 221 million. The National Development Agency has got it still operates under stringent financial conditions because our financial allocation from National Treasury is increasing by 5% year on year, whereas our CPI, the economic CPI, was averaging 6.5%. So in real terms, we actually our allocation is actually declining in real terms. And we have our key organizational expenditures like rentals. Rentals of offices where the cost is increasing by 8% and employee cost also increasing by 7%. So as an entity, we are operating within the budget constraints and still achieving our targets. Overall, like we indicated in the first slide, we reported a surplus of 16.5 million in 2017. This is where I explain the breakdown of the revenue. So in total, our revenue for the 2017 year was 237 million. And against prior year 2016 of 254 million, our revenue declined by 7.1%. So our revenue declined by a total of 18 million. And the allocation, the split of the revenue, the first line shows our allocation from National Treasury. So 194 million out of the 237 million is from allocation from National Treasury. And then 35 million of this is from conditional grants, which we get from other government departments. And then we also receive other income, which is like interest income at back office of about 7.8. So our decline of 18 million comes particularly from the reduction in the conditional grants that we get from the other government departments, where we can see that last year, in the previous year, we had 61 million, and in the year under review, we had 35 million. So it was a 25 million decline, which resulted in that overall drop of 18 million. In terms of our total expenditure, we spent 220.8 million against a budget of 230 million, which I indicated in the previous slide. And what we want to focus on here is in terms of the programs, how the spend trended against the budget. For mandate expenses being our key programs, program one, program two, which is CSO development, program three, and program four, which is research and development. So in total, our mandate expenditure, we actually spent 117.8 million against a budget of 117 million, which is almost in line. So we ended up our spend being almost in line with budget. For program two, which is CSO mobilization, we spent 72.2 million against a 70 million budget. So we were over on this program by 2 million rands over the budget, 2% above budget. Program three, which is CSO capacity building, we spent 40.7 million against a budget of 41 million. So our spend for that program was 1.5% below budget. Program 4, that is our research and development program, we spent 4.9 million against a budget of 5.3 million, which is 8% below budget. And that is what brings the total of our mandate expenditure to the 117.8 million against a budget of 117 million. As a total of our total expenditure, our mandate expenditure represents 53% of our total spend of 220 million, with the balance then being the administration expenses, which is program one. So for program one administration, we had a budgeted spend of 112 million, but we ended up spending 102.9 million. And the main reason for that gap, we spent 10 million below budget. The main reason was due to delays in establishment of district offices and the finalization of our ICT strategy. For our statement of financial position, this report indicates our financial health, basically. The NDA closed the year on a very healthy financial position. That's being represented by the fact that our total assets were 107.8 million, with 102 million being current assets and 5.7 million being non-current assets. So our total assets exceeded our total liabilities. Our total liabilities being 37 million, and as a result, our net assets are 71 million, which is an indication of very healthy financial standing within the organization. Our cash in total amounts to 99% of our total current assets. And my next slide shows the breakdown of what was sitting within the cash line of 109 million at year end. And I also cover, we're also gonna look at the components of our current liabilities. This shows the breakdown of our cash. Like we indicated, our cash is 101 million, making up 99% of our total current assets. And that amount is made up of, we had 14.8 million in our cash that related to third party funds. So those are the funds we received from other government organizations. And 21.8 million of that relates to current liabilities. Current liabilities being our payments that are due for services rendered, as well as employee commitments. We also had 22.8 million being relating to project commitments. That is projects that carry on over the years, that are not one-off. And of that, 17 million related to committed expenses and purchase orders. So that left the organization with 24.3 million at year end of cash that would be available to fund other initiatives. The current liabilities is made up as follows. Like I indicated, we had in our cash 14.8 million, which is what relates to the third party funds that are not yet utilized. And then the 20 million that related to other payables relates to amounts that we need to pay to creditors as well as employee-related payments. We also had a provision for project payments of 4.4 million, which then totals the 36.6 million rand in our total current liabilities. Chairperson, this is the end of the financial statement component of my presentation. I would like to request this.
AG, are you not speaking to AG? Are you not audited? You don't have.
sorry, Chairperson, we are audited, yes. So, within this presentation, the report of the AG has not been specifically covered.
Why?
We have submitted an audited annual report, and which from the AG, and is a unqualified audit with matters of emphasis in both performance information and on financial information. And the details are in the report, and they are covered on the specific areas that the AG has raised issues around.
We just thought that you're not going to present that. We'll read it in the report. Okay, it's important in your presentation next time, don't leave that one up. It's an important part of your report, even though you have unqualified audit opinion, but we want to know the matters of emphasis and the plan to deal with them, because that you're not going to have find in your report, how you want to deal with them. Okay, you want to speak to challenges?
I'm not sure if I can speak from here, Chair, instead of the. I think I'm just going to quickly cover the challenges that we had over the last financial year, which the first one relates to the process of restructuring and repositioning of the NDA and the redefining of our programs, which really created an implementation challenges, because in many cases we were getting into areas that we hadn't had an experience of implementing before. And I think secondly is the demand and the fact that we had adopted a decentralized approach and the challenges that comes with that process, which really requires time for one to master, implement, and start to bear the fruits of that approach. But we had a very good understanding and planning and people. As you know, Chair, when we came last year, almost everyone was acting. Or we had all the executive from the CEO to everybody that came was acting. We now have a permanent CEO. We have a permanent executive in all of these positions. We no more have anybody acting in that senior level management. We had a board that had just started. We now have a board that has got, I think, a wealth of experience and understanding at this point in time. And I think the second thing is the expansion of the district points that we adopted as part of our service delivery model. I think the biggest challenge is the resources for that kind of expansion, mainly relating to human resource, right? Because for us to have the 27 district operational, it really talks about increasing our staff by more than 250%, and it's dangerous to do that increase at a go. You've got to actually do it over a period of time. Otherwise, we'll close the system. So it takes time to actually achieve those kinds of models. But I think we are getting a handle of it. And lastly, really, is the is the change of how we approach our interventions. For them to be effective, you need to have system, processes, tools that can show you whether this is working or not. And we had completed developing those tools, but institutionalizing them, it takes a bit of time for people to shift their practice to a new practice and actually adopt a different way. I'm not going to say a new way, but I will say a different way of doing things. And that takes time. And I think right now, because we have strengthened both our provincial and district offices, we are having a better feel on ensuring that everybody is adopting that practice. And part of the remedial measures that we, I think is this is the next slide, the remedial measures that we have put in place is the establishment of the program implementation at district level, which really deals with the issues that have raised as problems for decentralization. The second one is the audit turnaround strategy. There have been a couple of findings that relates to both process and policies within the NDA. As I've said in my presentation, when we changed almost each and every policy that we had required to be reviewed, and then therefore meant we have to have revised processes and tools and systems to implement those policies. So we've had an audit turnaround strategy. We've just rehired a senior manager risk whose job is to actually manage that process. And we have finished developing and testing tools for programming. We currently use them to actually give us, I think, our performance information for the year that we are in is just right on point and is verifiable, and we can find everything that we're looking for. And we have trained our development officers that are placed at district level to provide programs. Chair, I will stop there, and I think the chair of the board will conclude.
Chairperson, in the interest of time, that is our presentation. Let's listen to the select committee.
Thank you very much. Honourable Minister, I don't know whether you will want to come here or after members has interacted with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable members. I think, Chairperson, I'd like to respond to questions because I wasn't here at the beginning. Yes.
Honourable members, it's your time now to interact with the presentations. We have received two presentations, but safe to say, I know members expecting to get it's normal. Update on the process of appointing of a company that will run pension payouts. Just to remind ourselves that we're dealing with an annual report 2015-16, and also just to indicate that I'm not stopping any question or members. I'm just reminding ourselves, just to indicate that there is an interministerial committee that has been appointed, which is, as I speak now, I'm not sure if they are done. They are appearing before ISCOPA and the portfolio committee on social development. I indicated earlier why some of them are not part of this meeting. as we will be, if there will be those who want to know what is happening, just bear in mind that there are those processes that are going on. Maybe it was good for us not to be part of that process so that we are in a position to oversight later when they have finalized. Over to you, honorable members, dealing with both presentations, you'll indicate which one. Let me start with Honorable Kaula. Honorable Pambos Bogwane, fine. Honorable Hatim, Honorable Zwane, Honorable Mamburu, and then Honorable Samga. Oh, I don't see. Let me start with you, Honorable Mshoti, because I want to follow this order.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start also to welcome the two presentations. Ke hlomphe Minister wa rona Mme Dlamini. And my first question, Chairperson, is on page 19, the same presentation that was presented right now. Page 19. You said your vacancy rate is 22, while the turnover rate of the NDI is at 6.7. Following the departure of 12 employees. One would love to know these 12 employees, what's the problem? They left this institution. Secondly, Honorable Chairperson, four employees attend disciplinary action due to non-compliance with the NDA policies and procedures. I want to know, after this disciplinary hearing, these four employees, they were expelled or what? Coming to SASA, Honorable Chairperson, on the annual report, Honorable Minister, I have seen your card here, this one, the smart card. But the area where I'm coming from the area called Edenville in the Free State Province. Sometimes I used to go when our people is going to get the grant. There's a green one, Honorable Minister. It's not the same as this one, the card. It's the green in color. And when you go there, you'll see these officials of SASA telling these people, hi, hi, suga wena, suga. Ungasebenzisile card. I told you that was at the end. So I just want to know what is happening about this one. The green one is not the same as this one, Honorable Minister. Other one, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to know concerning irregular expenditure of 326,159 million for 2016 and 2017 financial year. What were the reasons for this irregular expenditure? I think is the last one, Honorable Chairperson. I thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to the Honorable Minister, and thanks to the family of the department for the presentation. Let me start by something that was not presented, Chairperson, but which is in accordance with their line of work. I had the provincial manager of my province, the kingdom, for SASA is also here. I think they said it's Mr. Ntlangothi. Chairperson, Honorable Minister, last week Monday, coincidentally, in Port Shepstone, I bumped into somebody who reported that he was from a CCMA struggle with CPS. I think he's an employee or former employee, something like that, of CPS. There is something they are doing at CPS whereby they compel their employees to register old or beneficiaries of SASA for a funeral scheme that is called Smart Life or something like that. Now, if they have not met the target, which is, I think, he said it's something like 230 registrations a month, then they are taken to task. Now, we have been complaining about fraud that happens outside government to people who are beneficiaries of the Department of Social Development. Now, this is happening inside because it's done by the people who are contracted by the department, CPF, to meet whatever target, which I think is something that needs to be investigated by the department. Whoever is monitoring SARS, CPS in the department, I think it's something that needs to be followed up. It may happen that it's not just a KwaZulu-Natal scenario. It may happen that it's something that's happening all over, but this is a case I encountered in Port Shepstone just last week. Chairperson, on page 8 of the SASA presentation, there's a bullet there where they talk about institutionalizing social grants payment system within SASA. So you say, Chairperson, it's automatic. My question is how? I would like to get a briefing on them, on that institutionalization. The Chairperson said we did not ask about other things, but you see, the other things are just automatically coming in. The next one, page 10, SASA, in the last bullet, SASA says the other objective they have is to uphold good governance. Now, I want to query this, Honorable Chairperson, in relation to how the former SASA CEO left the position. It's good governance in relation to the departure of the CEO. I'd like to get a comment on that one from SASA. Is it also in accordance with good governance? My next one, Chair, there are so many of these things, Chairperson, and you'll pardon us because there were lots of presentations. I think I'm on SAS on page 27, where they talk about 150 open pay points converted to fixed structures. I didn't know SASA was doing this. I would like to find out. I know it will be difficult, but I just want to find out how it's done. Do we still have pay points that are open places? Because I was not aware that it's also their duty to ensure that they get shelters for pay points. I thought it was somebody else who was doing that. But now that they are doing it, just want to find out how it is progressing, because I think there's still a lot of pay points that are still open places. My next one, Chairperson, on SASA is the target on page 51, which talks about social grants. The target that was not achieved, there is an explanation there that social grants exceptions, the reason why they could not achieve the target was because of the issue of refugees. I just want to get a comment from SAS. How big is this challenge of refugees who cannot produce their identities within SAS? Because I see their target is very low, and the reason is because of the refugees. How big is that challenge at SAS? And the next one, Chair, which is, I think, will be the last one. It takes about 3 or so pages. It starts on 57, where they talk about the backlog on mandates and the reasons thereto for the new financial year. A new SASA control management model is being developed and will be implemented. It talks to, again, getting the new service provider. I think it links to the first question that I asked Chairperson. if you look at it carefully. And I think all those three pages that follow there, they all talk about that target not achieved, reason being they are migrating to, or rather they will be contracting a new service provider. It's a question of finding out how far are things developing in respect of that. And the last one to SARS will be on 63. On page 63, the issue of fingerprints, which is a problem. Does this not leave SASA open to fraudulent actions, this problem of fingerprints? Chairperson, those are the questions I have with SASA. With NTA, your mandate is very wide. The mandate you are talking to there on page, I think it's just the first page, general information. It's a very wide mandate, very big, to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society organizations. You do this by meeting development needs of the poor. That is your primary mandate, and your secondary mandate is also linked to that, one. Now, when it goes to finances, you say that you are operating under financial stringent financial situations, but you have a 16 million rand surplus. You see, Shibas, what you are saying to us, Akhlangan, the mandate this big, you comment stringent financial situations, spending 16 million rand not spent. Challenges, can we get more money next year? Can you explain yourself, NDA? Akhlangan, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to know, with these reports on fraudulent occurrences within DSD, how many arrests have been made to date? And to be transparent, I want to know what has the arrests been made for. They're just saying one word, fraudulent, and the presentation is silent on the transparency. And I would like more in terms of what has been the arrest, what are the arrests, all the interrogative words to be answered. Who, how, when, the time frames have been, or are they remaining in the department as per se, or outside have been arrested? I want to know. I know it has been cleared of the ID green documents. It has been cleared, but I know that the SASA grant need an ID. It has been cleared by Home Affairs. On media, social media, it has been cleared that they're not going to end by 31st of March. To avoid a volcanic eruption from next year, Chairperson, I would like to know what efforts have DSD made in trying to combat what might have happened. I'm not asking about the CPS, and I'm asking about the collaborative methods that you have made together with Home Affairs, bearing in mind that it has been cleared on social media, on the radios, that the SASA grant will still be valid. What collaborative have you made to date in preparing for what is going to come on 2018? Thirdly, on page 23 and 24 of the first presentation to the select committee, I would like to know what's happening, that there are spaces in page 23 and 20 on the Western Cape. Is it because things have been submitted before time, or there have been no submissions? How come? I want an explanation on the spaces provided on the Western Cape on the annual presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Two lines that I would like to interrogate on the SASSA report. In the Auditor General's report, the Auditor General reported some major material misstatements in the annual performance report submitted for auditing. And these material misstatements were on the reported performance information of benefit administration and support, specifically as was given to us earlier. Some of this were corrected, but they are still maintained. Some of them are still present in the report. And even then, the reported achievement of targets for the benefit administration was misstated, 33% and 36%. Furthermore, Auditor General reported some, highlighted some on expenditure management, the irregular expenditure, and this is a repeat finding, also a repeat finding about fruitless and wasteful. And yet, one would go to now performance bonuses. One would see that performance bonuses, based on, I would say, reduced performance, actually was increased. Now, as my question is the regression in performance by SASSA, does it influence in any way performance bonuses? Performance bonuses now stands at for 2017 at more than 10% of the basic salary budget. Has it become a right of everybody to earn a performance bonus? How does this relate to? And if one go to even the service bonuses of the individuals, one can see it appears that roughly 8 to 10%, even more of some instances of people, it appears that it has become a right. I would like to get the performance bonus policy should be provided to the committee so that we can get a clear understanding of what is going on here. If we want, you could make a note of that, Chairperson. Then there's one other line that I just would like to get an understanding. I see that listed in the financial statements is an amount of 26 million for entertainment. Now that amounts to about half a million to entertainment per week, every week. 26,285,168 rand for entertainment. I would like just to get an understanding, why do we have, and it's up with about 10% from the previous financial year when it was 24 million. Then also my colleague touched on this, and if we go back to the AG's report, AG reported further, and we've seen a high number of fraud, theft, etc. cases that were investigated, also the high number that were not as yet investigated. The AG reported on consequence management that disciplinary steps were not taken against some of the officials who had incurred or permitted fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Now, this is even outside of fraud, theft and corruption, as was required to by Section 51(1)(e)(3) of the PFMA. I would like to get an explanation of why this is again reported, also a repeat finding by the AG. Then on the NDA, public entity, I also see some also unachievement on the planned targets. But then what is also a concern is the emphasis in the budget on performance bonuses, even when there is provision made for 13th check in the December of every year. it also appears that 7.9 million performance bonus allocation was done in 27. It's 8% of the staff costs, up from 2% of 1.3 million in the previous year. Now, I would like to know why, what's happening here, taking into account that there's already provision made for a 13th check in the NDA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My Honourable Minister, I would want to recognize your presence and we appreciate. Yeah. We met at the passage, but I did not report that it would come in late deliberately. So, SASA qualified audit opinion. The AG has recorded that your accounting systems are not properly in place. And I am not going to delve deeper into issues that you know you are not supposed to be doing processing procurements of goods over 500,000 without competitive bids, under 500,000 without the invitation of quotations. Those are issues that any person that works in a finance department know that they are not supposed to be doing, but you continue to do them. Why? And what is the consequence management to those officials that keep on doing one and the same things and therefore affecting the audit opinion of your department or your subdirectorate, which is SASA in this instance? When you indicated your performance targets, you talk of achieved, partially achieved, not achieved. In the overall, now when we summarize, the partially achieved are on the side of the achieved or on the side of not achieved. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There are those that are partially achieved. Where are they in the overall? Are they part of the achieved ones or part of the ones that are not achieved? And the budget, you've overspent your budget 104%, and that the targets that you've achieved are at the level of 43%. 43 and 104%, they don't tally. It's either when you plan, you deviate from the core business, you do something else, or something wrong is happening here. I don't know what it is, but I need a clarity in that regard. Wasteful and fruitless expenditure is a bit too high. If you book hotels and venues and people do not turn up or the venue is cancelled, do you recoup the money from those that did not turn up? Because they are the contributors to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. When you cancel the venues, that talks to your planning. Why do you have to plan a function or to be staged at a venue and you cancel after having paid for the venue? Your planning is questionable in that regard. And then when it comes to interventions, like the slides on pages 53, 63, I'm not going to quote the actual numbers, Chairperson, they are there. When we say we are going to train so many officials or so many people, or are going to invite so many people to come to a fraud prevention strategies and things like that. Where do you get the figure? What informs the figure that you stipulate? And then in that case, how do you measure your progress? How do you measure improvement? If I just say I'm going to invite 100,000 pensioners, out of how many that I've not invited, so as to check whether I'm improving in whatever intervention I am making. Here, I'm talking about the baseline. Unless you know the baseline, you cannot see if the department is improving or it is making progress, because it's just a figure out of the blue some certificates. That is my interpretation. And then there is that amount of money, a big amount of money in all of the pages that you said it's going to be written off, but it was 814 million, some figure to that effect. And then what you recovered is only 12.4.9 million. 35, yes, thank you, Chair. Page 35. That is too little an amount of money to have been recovered as compared to what is going to be written off. Who Minister of Finance has been saying that you don't have money in the country? And we're writing off sums close to billions because we can't recover. What is the problem of recovering the amount of money? That figure, to me, is a bit too big. That is with regards to SASSA. And then NTA, I've been covered largely by my colleagues. You cannot be given money that you can't spend. If you don't spend, it will be taken to other departments that are capable of spending. I was informed I'm not an accountant. I never had studied business economics. But all I know is that under expenditure is as bad as over expenditure. So you need to spend your money in a way that balances. The provincial footprint of the projects that you're talking about, where are they? Mangsua and Yagwazu Natal. Lava projects and Kulumangawe, where are they? Where am I going to find them? And then your vacancy rate and is a bit too high, 22%. I thought the normal vacancy rate, Chairperson, is about 10 or below that. When it is at the level of 22, and yet you have underspent. You need people to come to the department and work, but you don't need them. You need them, but you don't need them. Because the money is there, you could be employing and improve on your service delivery. We appreciate the fact that your audit is unqualified, but there is emphasis of matter, which I want to believe that as time goes and progresses, you are going to be attending to those issues. Next time we meet in this fashion, we are going to get a report that says, with regard to issues that the Auditor General has raised, these are the improvements that we have effected, and we are now better off, and we are progressing towards a clean audit. Because the ideal is a clean audit. It's not only an unqualified audit, but a clean audit. That is where we want to see all the department moving towards. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the little concern that I have is when the minister said she'll come later to respond to questions. The issue at hand, it's on SASSA. I wish she could take us through before so that we understand what is happening. It might be positive, it might be negative. We have got a role to play as parliamentarians. The question is on the mandate of the NTA. The Department of Social Development is doing very good in relation to cooperatives. I know the minister has got some links where the department buys school uniform for the poor. Why is it so difficult for NDA to build relations with other departments? I'm saying this because we are sick and tired of hearing corruption everywhere. We are sick and tired about hearing an incomplete financial statement without attachments. Because I think if we can focus on building these relations with other departments, it will be a very good NDA, because your mandate is to uplift the lives of the people of South Africa. If maybe you can clarify me on that, because I don't know what is happening. I'm saying this because, say for example, the Department of Health, we're talking linen there, we're talking food there. Why can't you encourage people to have cooperatives, or those who have those cooperatives, so that you link with them so that we provide whatever is necessary or relevant there. Let's talk mining. You are there. Mina, where I come from, Limpopo, we've got many mines there. Is it so much difficult for you to have those relations so that you identify these cooperatives whereby they are able to make uniform with these overalls, whatever it is? How difficult is it? Is it maybe because of the executives in the province? I don't know, but if we encounter, you come across me, I'm free. You can talk to me, I'll talk to them in my province. I'm not going to force them, but I'll talk to them because you are doing a very good job. But with the little money that the Department of Social Development is giving you, there's nothing much that you can do. But if we try and manage to have those relations, we'll be good. But I need an answer to that. Have you tried or if not, thank you.
Umbuzo wami uqala upha ku program 3 ku presentation ebisenza national development agency kulento ine project esifanweyo bathi ke xa besinika apha sihlalo ba kwi achievements zabo ngokwe plan yabo bebezi lungiselela into kokuba bawuthi ba achieve 140 ye project but bakwazile ukuphumela ngaphaya nge 168. Umdla ke ngolokokuba ingakwazi na i-agency usinika amanana ngokwe-province okanye ngokwe-district phakweza provinces. Also nento ethi kule presentation yabo bathi kune-districts ezingekenziwa okanye ezingekabikho National Development Agency. Umama Honorable Msodi, uya wandikhavarisha kule nto i-network employees ezithe zashiya i-agency. Kodwa ngesihlalo umbuzo wam ngulo, ingaba i-agency ingakwazi na ukhe isinike into ethi lithini na icebo labo lokuvala ezadoes vacancy post ezithe zashiywa. Chairperson, ndiyafuna ukuhamba nale nto ithethwa ngamalungu kule nto inosasa kunye ne-post office. Andingomntu ke through you chairperson namphathi sokholelwa kwimidia nakwezi ndaba zithethwa ngaphandle, ndiye ndikholele into okokuba ndive xa ndiyinikwa ngumphathiswa into emhlanganisweni into okokuba kwenzeka ntoni ngoku, kwenzela into okokuba xa sithetha naba bantu basithumileyo apha ingakumbi aba bantu basezilalini sikwazi ukuphendula ngento esiyive kumphathiswa zani ukuphulaphula imidia okanye i-TV isithi kwenzeka kuzakwenzeka oku. Angakasikobisele nje nangona ke i-process salandelelwa, kodwa njengee-members ezisuka emaphondweni base siyifumane i-information from the minister. Inkosisihlala.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your inputs, questions, and clarity-seeking questions to both presentations. I have a few issues from my side. I'll start with NDA. Chairperson, I'm glad that you are here today. I'll start with the mandate that you are given. Agree with the honorable member that has spoken to the mandate. You are given an open-ended mandate to deal with poverty eradication in the country. Over and above, I was told last time when we met with you that you are also allowed to fundraise. Unlike any other entity or government departments who cannot fundraise, you are allowed to fundraise. But looking at your other income, it looks like almost you're getting your money, almost everything from government except the 7 million, which I'm not sure where it is coming from. My question is then that given the mandate that last time I was asking the minister, why are they giving you, are they not giving you enough money given the mandate that you have? But also from your side, what are you doing to fundraise? How far have you gone? Or are you just waiting for government to give you money and think that you'll deal with the poverty of the country? Also, general, the impact of your programs. What informs the programs that you have? If you look at the recent state SA in terms of poverty, we're not doing well as a country. What is your response? Maybe I will see that in your plan, as you'll be presenting your plans. We are dealing with the previous report. But one would want to see you really dealing with poverty issues. If I look at your budget and understanding the poverty in the country, I don't think even a drop in the ocean is bigger than what you are doing here. You're not even beginning to start dealing with the real issues of poverty in the country. I know that. I'm saying that knowing very well that there are other departments who are dealing with poverty issues. But as an entity given that responsibility or mandate, one would expect you to do better than what you are doing now. Maybe, and also looking at your program, I heard that you've just started and it was a time where you were restructuring the organization, the programs and everything. Looking at what you were doing at the time, even if I was a minister, I was not going to give you money. It's not convincing to me. Because I would have said, if I were in your shoes, based on the poverty levels of the country, and you do have a base of people who are poor, from those people who are getting grants, we are targeting this amount of people, we need so much money. But for me, your programs are wishy-washy. So they are not convincing to say, give us money, Minister. If we implement these programs by this year, we will have eradicated poverty by this percentage. So I think my input on that one is not a question. Is the comment to say, go back, look at your programs and ask yourself, are you really responding to the poverty levels of the country? Then take it from there, because as I see it now, as you're reporting, it's not speaking to that. Okay, I've spoken to fundraising. The overachievements throughout your programs is worrying me. But if you look at your expenditure, you're almost at the par, which is, I really appreciate. That is what one is expecting. If you planned so much, you spend not exactly 100%, but more or less the same. But you have overachieved in almost everything. What does it mean? Does it mean that you under-budgeted or you under-planned? You under-planned so that you will say you overachieved. There is somewhere where you said you did not know the extent of the work that you were going to do because you have just restructured. But when you go to capacity building, now you plan for 3,000. The other side you said you did not know, you planned for 400. There's a contradiction there. There's a contradiction. You can't plan for 3,000 you don't know. Yet you are saying in 400, because I did not know the amount of work that we're supposed to do. So there is a contradiction there. I'm worried about your overachievement. It may mean that you underplanned. The issue of the district offices, as much as I really want you to have all these district offices, But we need more money to go to the people, to those organizations which are dealing with issues of poverty eradication. If you are saying you will need 250% in terms of budget to implement those offices, don't you think it's better that you use that money to give it to the organization than you having so much big structure, but you don't have money to implement programs? Think about that. I would say I'd rather have those offices that I have, but spend more money in giving those organizations, because you can have the staff, but still you will not be able to deliver on your mandate because most of the money is used for personnel. Just think about that and see if it is not going to assist you. In terms of, Isasa, there is a lot of noise that is being made by everyone on SASA. Understandably so, because you're dealing with target groups. But when you look at your finances, today provinces are here, because some procurements are happening at provincial level. How much are they contributing to this unauthorized, irregular? Honorable Zwane spoke to a number of them, and other members, Honorable Hutton. Why are we doing that? Because we know it's not supposed to be done. Why are we doing it? I understand in if there is a disaster, you're bound to do that, because Umabushe, for example, Imkuku, Lai Western Cape, I'm making example, Honorable Pam. You're not going to say, I will follow all the processes while people balelenga pandle or imvula ianet. But let's account for that. Let it not be a norm. Ama officials aga finance enzani, why are you mbanle nimsabaga ngaga nize niyegele nje kube gamakang bazenze. Why? Is it because of a capacity, Minister? Bana a capacity, a financial management? I'm asking out of ignorance. I'm looking at what is happening in the department in terms of finances. Do they have a capacity? If they do, why do they allow it to happen? Because at the end of the day, it's not you on the spotlight as a minister. No, to minister, I don't know. But as far as I know, she's not responsible for procurement processes. It's you. But on the media, it's Minister Batabile Dlamini. Everywhere. Why are you doing that? Is it because mina I would want one day kuthi bakhulume ngani CFO? But CFO akawenza umsebenzi wakhe. Bayeke lo minister one side. CFO akawazi umsebenzi wakhe. Asitshele naye ukuthi no, angizange ngaqeqeshwe ezimalini, ngamane ngaqashwa nje mina. Ngafakwa nje ngoba i-deployment, asazithi i-deployment. Huh? Akusiyo CFO. if it's not, you know, I'm dealing with real issues, because when we go to the house and debate, that's what we say. See this ANC deployment? You take people who don't have capacity, put them in position, and they don't deliver. If it is not deployment, why are these things happening? Why are they happening? Because you are not exposed. Where I came from in my previous life, I took managers to the public. I said respond. Because most of the time it's politicians who face the public. I took them with, I said respond. That is the way you can be able to stop it. If the media was saying whatever, CFO can respond on this one. I think maybe we need to come to that. We don't want, but all what you are saying, do your work right. In terms of percentage, in terms of achievement, they know that it depends on the indicator. If the indicator is saying that we're going to process so many applications, and at the end of the financial year, Honorable Zwane, you don't. We don't talk about partial. There is no partial indicator. There is a full indicator. But we are also acknowledging that there is money spent, even those indicators that are not fully achieved. We are not lying to that. On page 19, one would want to know the types of frauds that are committed. You're just indicating that you dealt with so many of them, but you're not indicating the type, just to make us aware with what kind of frauds that you come across. AMA contracts, 1,009 contracts are concluded within 10 days. Maybe that is where the problem is. What times, what types of contracts? Maybe it was spread across the provinces, is possible to achieve this. But AMA contracts, 1,009, you conclude them in 10 days, within 10 days. What type of contracts did you follow all the procedures? It's a good thing, but was it done correctly? Okay, the one issue, Honourable Minister, the issue of my IT system is a challenge, because if you don't know what you want to achieve on the IT system, you'll end up having so many systems because they are recommending to you. It links with what the AG is saying, your accounting systems. I see they're talking about a number of IT systems that has not been achieved or achieved. My question is that, is now IT system that can perform all these functions or interface with what you have already? On the applications, you plan to process 1,004, that is your page 40, but you achieve 2 million and above. My question there is that, doesn't it have a financial implication? Maybe that is where the over expenditure is coming from, because you had planned to do 1,004, but you 1.4 million applications, but you did over 2 million. Are there financial implication? Zwane has covered the debt recovery and collections. I'm worried about that. Why do we want to write off? Do we have convincing reasons that we can't find those people? Because there are conditions when you can write off a debt. Why do we want to write off so much money? Go my deductions. You plan to, it's always Honorable Kaula's question, you plan to resolve 60%. What about the other 40%? Why do you want to leave out the other 40%? In terms of matching AMA fingerprints, you did not achieve because you can't trace, trace who, because as far as I know, those people are getting AMA pension payouts every month, if you were referring to those people. And if you can't trace them, who are you paying every month? There is a worrying statement that you mentioned that in order for you to get CFO, your surplus fund, cash in the bank, you have to overspend. I understood you well to say there must be a deliberate overspending so that you can access the surplus funding, because it's a problem. Each and every cent that you have in your budget is planned for something. You have not achieved other things, so how are you going to overspend? I don't know. UIDT, I'm worried if you are talking about
appointing IDT to do some of your work. IDT, I know a good reputation in most departments. I have a letter which I did not, I don't know where I've put it. A service provider, I think it's more than 7 years, they have not been paid by IDT. They did job work for the department. You had contracted IDT. They've not paid them up to now. I don't know why you resolved to go to IDT. Those are the issues from my side. I don't know, Ms. Nessa, whether you'll be able to cover all these questions. All members, let's see how far we can. Where we cannot respond, we will do that in writing, but we must really do that in writing so that members will get their responses.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The green card, we have been trying to announce on a daily basis or when we are with communities that we are not part of the green card. Because one of the things is that it's not the whole amount of money that reaches the beneficiary. It has an interest. And we have gone through a number of agencies as well as courts, and the courts have ruled against us, unfortunately. And when the Constitutional Court said no one is supposed to use our beneficiaries for other things. For instance, those that were doing re-registration, we had thought that that automatically meant we should cut those things. But unfortunately, we were taken to court. And then again, we lost in the Pretoria High Court, and we escalated the matter to the Minister of Justice, and then they explained to us that the judgment of the Constitutional Court is not actually saying that we should cut all these people that are taking names of grant recipients or beneficiaries, but also it doesn't mean that it does no longer happen. So we have gone back to court for an appeal because we think our case is justified. The issue of CCMA and CPS, I think much as CPS is providing services to social development, they are an independent company. What binds them or binds them to government, because in the judgment it said that the contract with government means that they are an extension of a government. That is how we relate, through the contract, but not through the contract with other people that are waiting for CPS, but also it's one of the cases that we have to take up. And it's not the only thing that is happening here. One other thing is that whilst people get their money, they go back and pay it back to CPS offices because they give them loans. And this, when you get this card, I am told you also easily access a loan. I've never proved that. I'm not sure about the former CEO. What I know is that her term came to an end. It expired, and that is why she left. Yes, it is true. We still have some pay points in open places, but what we've been trying to do is to increase the footprint of SASSA. And in many areas where we never had offices, we do have offices today. And yeah, in some of the areas where people have been getting their grants under the trees, we are using community halls. So numbers have been going down. And the more we get places, is the more we move further to try and ensure that we meet the 5 kilometer radius, because we're supposed to ensure that at least we have a pay point within a 5 kilometer radius. And then also the issue of refugees, I think they are going to respond to it. But we must say that it is a challenge. Along the borders, you have people that are grant recipients. And at some stage, we're very much excited after investigations, thinking that we're going to arrest a lot of people, only to find out that they have dual citizenship. Though dual citizenship is not accepted here, in other neighboring countries, it is allowed. But also, there is an area called Jokabi, that a border. You also have kids that stay permanently in South Africa. And if you want to see the caregivers, you can't see them. And it's difficult to register children without caregivers. And most of the time when you are there, they would promise that, no, we're going to find a caregiver. And if you could give us something in the meantime so that kids have something to eat. But you go back there or you write to the Minister of Home Affairs, they make arrangements for people to have certificates and school permits. They even invited the government of Lesotho. They also, Lesotho government brought their officials so that they could give them proper documents, but they don't feature. But when they finish with the process, again, people come up to say we have kids here that have challenges and all those things. So I must say that we've all been trying to deal with the issue. Maybe not much has been done, but we are trying to ensure that at least children are registered so that they can get support. They have a caregiver, because we don't pay a child without a caregiver. And then, yes, NDA mandate looks very wide. And I must say that they have been trying a lot. There are maybe things that they were not able to put across in the report that maybe they should try and see how they put them, because the way you write a report is very important. The NGOs and CSOs, they've been doing a lot of work in strengthening them. When we have our program, Mikonzo, they are the ones who actually do the business training of our cooperatives and incubate them for a year so that they don't collapse. And most of the cooperatives we find in communities are cooperatives that were formed long ago, given money, and left like that. So they've done their best. And also with the training of ECD practitioners, some of the ECDs have practitioners that are not trained, and they've formed a partnership with some service providers and some institutions of higher learning, and then they are trained and they get certificates and proper certificates that qualified when we tried to ensure that all the people that have qualifications in ECDs are the correct people in terms of SAGWA. ECDs, they've also been raising funds, working in partnership with a business, big business and small business in communities to build, so that we could build early childhood development centers. And it's not our responsibility as social development to build ECDs. It's the responsibility of a local government. But unfortunately, that is put at the periphery. And they've taken that as their responsibility. But also, Chairperson, they know that I don't agree to the issue of over-achievement, because most of the time, but the acting CEO did mention that it was the first time they came up with a clear target. And I think we should congratulate them on that. And they're going to be going for the second time, and they're going to be careful and understand how their work should be done. So what increases their number of people that they end up assisting is that when we go for Mikonzo, we don't only look on the issues
or of grants. We look at ECDs, interventions, welfare services, alcohol and substance abuse, violence against women and children, our social partners, NGOs, their role, and many other things, so that we can make an impact. And therefore, they also have their work to do. Mam Samka ebazo pendula lana ngendaba yama employees ukuthi kwenzeke kanjani.
Then
into ye CFO Hlalo uyangimosha because I think the team is trying very hard. There is a huge difference we are seeing, and we even now understand where we've made a mistake. And the CFO would try and deal with the issues, but sometimes we lose, sometimes we win in terms of accounting. But a lot now is being done procedurally, and he is not there through some favor. He is there because he's a good CFO. So, and there was, when he came to SASSA, he used to stay in the office for close to 16 hours, and then the family got angry and recalled him back. I had to talk to the family to say, please. And so, I think there is a difference, and we are going to see it as time goes on. The issue of the number of people that are registered for grants, we always get projections. And then the number that is there, it's projections that we make together with the Treasury. But that does not mean that if we don't have people, or if we are going to try and find them somewhere, but also if they are there and they are more, we register all of them. So it's been working like that, and that is why sometimes people think we have underspent. It's because we always have this money that is meant to pay a new grant applicants. And how do we get sometimes our projections? We get them from reports, research reports from other organizations that deal with the issues of children. But sometimes we partner with UNICEF to do research on the number of children that are receiving grants and those that are not yet receiving grants. And we do door-to-door, actually, if there is an outcry. And what we have also found out is that usually we think it's people in the rural areas that do not register people. And we also found out that there are people who go to towns and then stay at the periphery, and they end up not registering their children. So that
That's one other issue. Then the issue of deductions also, it is a process, but we think that very soon we're going to be able to deal with it. We know it's a difficult process, but also we have to try and deal with it. Also, they're going to respond on their own, but with performance bonuses, you have a panel sitting to evaluate each individual. It's not all the officials that get performance bonuses. There are many, many actually who always fight about why they are not getting a performance bonuses and a pay progression. So it's not just an easy process, and we have to agree on it. So after that team, they again come, we sit and they explain everything, and I say, but so and so did this at this time, and they would say, no, but we're supposed to write a report about that. That is how you go about that. I think there is only one issue that I thought I would talk to very briefly. Chairperson, we've been to SCOPA for the second time as the IMC. In the first meeting, we reported about what we were going to do. The implementation protocol that we had to come up with, that had to be signed by SASSA and SAPO. And today we went to report to SCOPA and Social Development that that a protocol is there and it has been signed. And then also we also dealt with the issues of cost effectiveness in the whole project. Why we spoke about that? It's because in the judgment, issues of transparency, competition, cost effectiveness are there. But also what is important is that the post office and other government departments are working with SASSA. And with those who are going to go through IGR. So, and also communication strategy and a plan, we said we're going to continue dealing with. Then today we again went there to report about our program and what we've done since the IMC was formed. We've provided information to the panel of experts, but also have committed that we're going to provide information to the panel of experts within the
required a time. Provide appropriate and sufficient detail on process undertaken by SASSA to obtain services of air service air providers, including communication by the Office of the Chief Procurement Officers by Friday the 17th. The Friday we are going to. Combine statistics and information on of all mechanisms involved in the payment of social grants in one consolidated document to be provided to the panel on a monthly basis. Request GCIS to develop and implement a plan. They have actually presented the plan to the IMC. And that we're going to report to the Constitutional Court as required. And our next report to the Constitutional Court is on the 8th of December. But we are busy preparing the one we had said it was going to be an addendum of the one that we had submitted to court. And that after filing the plan, we are then going to look into the steps we have to take, also look into how we are going to mitigate a risk which could prevent the full execution of the plan and any other matters. And then we are going to come up also with a contingency plan of what we are going to do so as to ensure that on the 1st of April we have a seamless transition. And therefore we expect the technical teams to sit and then give a report to the IMC. And there are other meetings that have been going on, like a meeting with the Banking Association, because amongst the elements of the process, you have the hybrid model. So we have had meetings with them. We've also said that we're going to be working with a public sector in a number of issues that have to do with the hybrid model. Then we're going to have four focus areas that are going to focus on ICT, legal, financial institutions, and the constitutionality and legal robustness of the process. We're saying a lot has been achieved in the 10 days towards finding a sustainable solution for the payment of social grants in the country. The commitment of the IMC is to ensure that our people at the end of the day access grants. And then we have terms of the that are in the protocol that we have to ensure that
it allows SAPO to provide SASSA by the 1st of April 2018, subject to cost effectiveness, the following: corporate control account, special disbursement account, card body production and distribution, subject to price competitiveness, and on board of new beneficiaries. So the protocol forms part of the foundation for the signing of a further detailed collaborative agreement that will be submitted to the IMC by the 6th of December to the panel of experts, and 8th of December to the Constitutional Court. And then the Banking Council of South Africa agreed on the principle of establishment or establishing a special affordable account for SASSA beneficiaries and how to enhance their role in SASSA grants. I think those are important parts of the protocol. I'm going to try and ensure that we clean the reports of last week and this week so that the committee can have access to information. But also, I think it's the right of the committee to call the IMC to come and present its progress report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I tried to warn members not to get to this question because I knew that it was not going to be a one-word answer. We needed a session just to get this report. Unfortunately, Honorable Members, it has interfered with some of your outstanding questions that we've asked. Looking at the time, I don't think we can proceed beyond this time. I know the officials from provinces are very happy wherever they are, because they are not going to ask some of the questions that were directed to them. Can we request, Honourable Minister, that I'm sure members will agree with me, we can't proceed beyond this, we've got a sitting at 2. Can we request that the outstanding questions be answered in writing? We get written responses, but thank you very much. NDA, maybe next time I must ask the Honourable Minister to write a report on your behalf. Because most of the things that she has mentioned are not part of your report, of what you are doing. Maybe it's under-reporting. Having said that, thank you very much for your time, Honourable Minister. And hoping that you're going to improve, especially on SASSA. We know that's an old report. You might have improved on the last financial year. We'll see when it comes. As you are saying that the CFO has tried to assist. We will only see when we see the report. But we really appreciate your presence. The meeting stand adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you.